Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. In this episode, we are finishing that game. It has been a long road. It has been an interesting road. I don't regret doing this game. It has given me a good perspective of where we left off in the 3D Zelda games. We do have one more after this, but I have said multiple times, Skyward Sword is a departure from the original formula that we saw starting with Ocarina. And Twilight Princess really does kind of like end that era in a way.
Yeah, I'll save my overall thoughts from when we get done with this, at the end of this episode, and kind of discuss how we feel about the state of Zelda at this point.
Well, let's get to that point then.
Yeah.
So, when we left off, we blew up Zant.
Dude
popped like a balloon.
Peace out.
And Midna says, "All right, let's go to the castle. Apparently, I'm super strong now, and we can go and finally stop Ganondorf.
I have the power within me to help Zelda out for what she did for me, basically. I can return her power to her. So Midna's going to be saving Zelda."
Well, but we don't know that yet. Because she says we don't it. Even know. Does she say that?
Yeah, she says
she
it.
She says she can return Zelda's power to her.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I guess that was weird because do you remember the last time we saw Zelda? She kind of exploded herself.
I thought she was dead.
It literally looked like she like killed herself.
Yeah.
Or you know, sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
To give the energy that Midna needed. It was not clear what she had done. So when Midna is just like, "Oh, she's back at the castle," just like, "What? Huh?
Yeah. What?
Why would you be at the castle?"
That wasn't explained at all, but yeah, all right, sure.
Like, what is her corpse back there?
She hasn't left. I mean, she was always at the castle, I guess, so maybe.
She got better.
Yeah.
So, before I forget to say this, did anyone notice that they say both Ganon and Ganondorf? It irritated me.
Yeah.
They said both. And I'm like, which is it? Is it Ganon or is it Ganondorf?
Well, like, we've had this discussion too many times about like the difference between them. And it's like, is there a difference?
Is he Dorfless right now? What's going on?
They say it both ways in this game. I get it. Like if it's one in way in one game and another in another game, but they say it both in this.
Sometimes
one,
he's sometimes both forms appear, like at the end of Ocarina he was Ganondorf the whole time, and then you get out of the castle and he turns into Ganon and as his last ditch effort. And yeah, but they're not being clear about everything in this game anyway, so
they are not.
There's a lot we have to infer.
Yeah.
So we get into the castle, and thematically, I love a lot of stuff that happens in here, though I ended up skipping half of this dungeon. Somehow I ended up getting the big key at some point and didn't have to go through like half of it, and looked at my map and was like, oh, there's like four rooms that are I haven't even touched yet, but here's the boss door and I have the boss key right now.
There's a part when you get into the actual inside of the castle. You can go left or right. You don't have to go through every room in this dungeon.
Mm-mm, you don't.
There are two halves to it. You can take either one.
Can we?
And
just
I did,
like
it was weird. Like I looked at it and was just like, okay, I guess I don't feel inclined to go to these other ones because I know the ending is on the other side, and that's what I want to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just state, like, how, like, before we even get into the castle, has that big giant, you know, prism thing
the courtyard.
Over it?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And, like, and so Midna goes up to it, and she turns into, like, this hand spider thing. And,
yeah.
And, like, is glowing, and she climbs up on top of it, and, like, and then she pulls out this giant light spear thing,
yeah.
And, like, bashes it into, like, the prism thing. And I'm like, and it explodes. I'm like, get it, Midna. Like, rock your little powers, girl.
So this is, like, I mean, Midna just hulks out and destroys this mm-hmm. giant barrier.
Yes!
At least for me, like, we saw the barrier go up, but there was no incentive to interact with it between it appearing and... in like this moment, and I don't even know if there's ways to come up to the barrier outside of like the front gate, but Brian and I were talking with our special guest for the season, and he pointed out that this barrier in the game actually exists, like goes all the way into the sky and all the way beneath ground. So it just seemed weird that this almost thematic background piece is actually like they actually created the whole thing
to lock you out. Yeah.
Huh.
Which,
that's crazy.
And like we didn't really have a reason, or we didn't know we had a reason to go in there.
Nope.
There's a wolf, you know, for like, you know, one of the combat
for the,
skills.
For the final
like,
power,
yeah,
which.
I remember.
Yeah,
that
but that's about,
ago,
that's
but...
the only reason you need to go did, up to it.
Did we bring up the final power?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I got it.
And how
and
disappointing
I was like,
it is.
It's yeah. Just a, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We did talk about that. That's right.
Yeah. A dumb spin when you're full of health.
So when we're inside the castle grounds, I mean, it is, I think it looks really cool. You get into mm-hmm. the giant mm-hmm. courtyard area. There's this weird statue thing in the middle of it, but we randomly get stopped and a barrier will appear around us and enemies mm-hmm. can come into the barrier. But if we touch it, we get zapped.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did a bunch of mortal draws. It felt great. Where I was just like standing there, just like watching them come at me. And then just doing a mortal draw and taking like three of them out at a time. Unfortunately, Link didn't do his whole flourish animation. So I was able to just like put my sword away real quick, turn to my left, and then just do it again.
Yeah.
And just keep taking out enemies.
Because these are the red... whatever they want to call them in this, the bokoblins basically, but they're the red variant or purple variant or whatever that take forever to put down unless you do the finish move on all of them or do the mortal draw, or if you've got full hearts you can do the spin attack.
Yeah, I didn't really have any issue.
No, it just take a while.
We go around through here and we come across a bunch of it definitely looks like they have built up in the castle because we have a bunch of the, you know, poorly put together fences and all this stuff that we saw before.
Towers.
We worm our way through. Yeah, there's the towers with the guys shooting arrows around.
They all have fire arrows. We don't.
I know, right?
Eventually, we find a warthog and we can just blast through a bunch of that stuff.
I love that so much. I love, like, when you, like... I know I've said it before, but I love it when you, like, he bucks, and he's like, like, and he just goes charging. He's so wild. I love him. He's my friend.
it's still a pain to maneuver on one of these things, and I was trying to knock everything over and look through every inch of this place. Did you guys find the graveyard?
No, I don't think so.
I went back. I had to go back. I got to the boss door. Like, I got all the way up to the top of the castle. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back and find it.
Oh, really? Because it's not necessary.
Mm-mm. What is this? What is the graveyard?
So there's a little hidden spot somewhere. You use your wolf sense. I almost didn't catch it. And you'll dig under this spot in the ground and come out in an old like castle grounds graveyard with and it has this kind of elaborate puzzle to it where it involving rain and torches, and you have to like stop the rain to transport fire across from one side of the graveyard to the other.
Huh.
What do you get at the end of this?
I thought I was going to get something really, really great, like a heart piece or something, and you get a key.
Yeah, I somehow was short. Like, I got to the end of the dungeon, not to jump ahead, but...
Okay.
And I was short a key, so I had to go all the way back here and find it.
So you didn't... I don't think you had to. I think you missed another key inside the castle.
Yeah, there's two keys inside the castle.
When we get to the castle part, there's the split, and on one end of the split, there's the boss key. On the other end of the split, there's a small key.
Yeah.
And so you could have gotten that one too. But there's also, like, if you use your sense in the graveyard, there's like a bunch of dead soldiers standing around this one spot that's also like a key to the puzzle that you have to like bomb or blow up, or I think I used my ball and chain on it to bring a Dominion Rod statue out to stand there to do something and or to hold a switch down, and it's this like huge room, elaborate room puzzle with multiple elements to it, it took me a while, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah, you did a lot more than I
totally
did.
Missed that.
Yeah.
We'll get to the room that uses this key later, but it's right by the boss door.
Yeah, I didn't have a key for that, and that made me sad, and I had a ton I could see on my compass I had a ton of chests. And I'm like, well...
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever found this graveyard or knew it existed. And likewise, the room that it opens up. Because you'll run out of keys if you don't find this key.
Yes.
Okay, but like, I mean, yeah, I missed more than I thought.
Yeah.
I said
in the last episode, I had fun with the end of this game. Like, I was all of a sudden like, hey, like... This is, all of a sudden the game came alive. Cool. A little, I mean, I guess better late than never, but a little too late for me.
So, speaking of keys, though, one of the keys that we do get in the beginning is our final confrontation with King Bulban.
Mm-hmm.
He drops in, and we get a little fight with him. There wasn't anything crazy about that. You know, I just kept rolling behind his back, damaging him that way.
I like fighting him. You can just kind of dominate him with all your moves.
Yeah, he was nothing. Once again, I thought that he would like up the ante, and he did nothing. I was like, stab, 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 and you're dead. Or
but
you're
it,
not
it
dead, you're running away.
It
again.
Didn't feel like a cheap like fight like the Dark Nuts can turn into, where it's just like, nope, I'm blocking most of your shots. You just have to like do it just right or whatever. It's like, if you know the fight mechanics well enough, you can just unravel this dude. And it's fun. Because, like, yeah, it makes it the combat feel rewarding if you're good at it.
But then when we beat him, he speaks.
Yes.
And he's just like, all right, enough. And then
game recognizes game.
He says, I follow the strongest side.
Yeah.
This is all I have ever known.
Yeah.
And then he gives you a key and then just leaves. And it's just like, that is really cool given everything that's happening right now. Where he's just like, I've been following them because it's an evil god, but you, little boy, have shown me that you're actually stronger. So
right.
I guess I'm on your side now.
So he's like, all right, cool, peace. Here
I'm like, I got an ogre on my side.
Yeah. I want to see that buddy comedy.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
So, we get into the castle, and, like, the design, again, I'm going to be missing a lot of stuff talking on here, because I went one way, and I had enough keys, and I got to the door without having to get... I missed this graveyard area. If there's another key somewhere else, I don't think I got it. Like, I missed a lot of stuff on here, apparently. But we get into the castle, and obviously it is just immaculate. And But I don't like that we have hookshot anchors that are completely different than everything that we've had so far.
They're much larger because they're chandelier-sized.
But they don't look like anything to actually grab onto. There isn't like a symbol or any kind of like circular pattern or anything. And we'll even come across a thing later where there are these like candle covers that are also things you're supposed to latch onto. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to grab onto right now.
I just came on that by chance. I was just like moving my hookshot. I'm like, it has to be, you know, the hookshot, you know. And
there's
got to
be a spot somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm skimming through a walkthrough with like pictures and stuff for like reminding me through these things. And there is a puzzle that uses the Dominion Rod again, but I'm like, I never found that one.
Yep.
I never, there's
that
a puzzle.
The,
there's a
that
room puzzle
the graveyard.
That,
yeah,
that
in the
uses
graveyard.
The Dominion Rod. And
yeah, I didn't come across that.
didn't have to use that at all.
One puzzle you do with the Dominion Rod after the Dominion Rod segment of, you know, the game, the temple and everything.
Yeah,
they don't really, you know, reuse any of the items you get in the post, you know, let's call it Adult Link segment, you know. Spinner hardly ever gets used. The ball and chain never really gets used. The Dominion Rod never really gets used.
I try to use the ball and chain in here against the...
I pull that thing out any chance I get. Right. I love that thing. Did you know that you can use it to grab stuff? It has a hitbox like the claw shot does, except instead of waiting for it to come back to you, you just get it when the ball and chain hits it.
Really?
Yeah, and so you can do that. Like I have to watch the blue and yellow rupee. Look, Link grabbed a rupee thing every time I restart the game, but you can it'll just pick those up for me, and I don't have to see that.
Nifty.
But yeah, as we explore, so we get into a main area, the entrance of the castle, and then there are like a number of doors, and then each of those doors has like a hallway that goes around it, and then each of those hallways has a door that goes outside, and it actually does feel like connected to a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these games in the past, when they have you going inside and outside, sometimes it's not, you don't get the sense of like where you are exactly, and I never felt that way in this one. I felt like I remembered where I was compared to the center of the room.
Yeah, I mean, we only really had Wind Waker and I guess some of the castles you do go inside and outside, some of the 2D castles, but like,
I mean, I'm thinking even like for the forest temple in Ocarina, like,
oh,
you go through some of those rooms and you're like, I don't know.
I can't figure out
where I'm at right now without having to like actually bring up my map and to say like, oh, I go here, and didn't feel as natural.
Right.
I felt
a
like
lot
the
of
design
these puzzles, a lot of these puzzles are claw shot based, we talked about, but also there's a lot of torch lighting happening in here, and some of it's used in interesting ways, like when you light certain torches, platforms will raise up, and so you want to have certain platforms raised and then extinguish a specific torch so that another platform drops.
Oh, that
or
one
raises
took me forever
to get it to scale something, which I thought was cool. And the one that took me forever to actually figure out what was going on was there were four torches, and this was really unintuitive, that they stayed on for a certain length of time, and some of them were longer than others. And in typical Zelda fashion, I thought they were just going out because I messed the pattern up. Like, oh, that was the wrong one. I have to light them in the right order, or they go out, and it was, you have to light them in the right order because they go out, not they go out as a consequence of you messing the puzzle up.
They, so I felt really dumb in this room because there is on the other side a mirrored hallway almost that has a different puzzle. And so I had gone into the other room and, you know, tried. My first thought was, oh, maybe I can, you know,
boomerang one of these pictures off the wall or run into the wall and one of the pictures will fall down.
Yeah.
I had that thought too randomly, yeah.
I was staring at it. There, a lot of the pictures were of the same thing, but just different times of day or different seasons, which I was staring at these pictures like, that's really weird. But sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but so I went back to the dark room where you had to light the lanterns. And like you, Brian, I was like, all right, this one stays lit the longest. So I got to start here, then try. Then I like figured it out. It's like these two stay lit the longest. And so I'm just going to go these two and then try the others. And yeah. When I figured it out, my partner was right there and she goes, how'd you figure that out without the clue? And I look up at the wall and there's clearly a painting that you have to knock down that shows you the order to light the torches.
Oh, sweet mother.
What? Really?
Yeah. And I just lit them until it worked.
Yeah. Like I eventually realized that some of the torches stayed on longer than others, and just by testing all of them out and looking at them and being like, okay, that one clearly was way shorter than this one, so that comes later in the pattern. But yeah, okay, I didn't realize there was actually a way to solve that puzzle. There is a spot in the outside courtyard where they have a bunch of those fans that you hit with the boomerang, and you have to burn some leaves away
see
the pattern.
That was the ground. To blow them away. I didn't know you
or
could
blow them away. Yeah, burn. Yeah, you can't burn things. Yeah, no, blow them away. But yeah,
that one took me a minute. I don't think I went to the lantern room though. The only lantern room I went into is the one where it raises the platforms where you dip your oil. You know,
that's
whatever.
How you get up to the floor, and then from there you can either go left or right.
Right.
From that one.
Right. So I went one way and there was like the paintings that were, you know, different, you know, times of day of the castle, basically.
Yeah.
And originally I went one way and I could not figure it out. I'm like, well, there's got to be something I'm missing with the paintings. And then I realized that they were like being held up by like, you know, rope. And I'm like, oh, it's taking it back to that. Oh, I forget what which dungeon.
Yeah,
but you
Goron
just shoot
mines.
Your arrow and it knocks it down. And then there are switches that you hit the switch with the, you know, hook shot. And then some of them, like, drop down, you know, choo-choos. Which actually saved me because you go into, like, because you can scoop them. Like, one is oil and one happens to be red. And so, like, because the next room is, like, the two dark nuts.
Okay.
That killed me the first time. Like, the first one, there's one room where you have just one of them. Just one dark nut. And then I killed him. But then, like, when I had two at the same time, I couldn't use, like, my same little technique. Like, I kept on using Mortal Draw over and over and over and over and over again on him until all of his, you know, stuff was down. And then I just went behind and stabbed him. Well, I couldn't do that with two of them. They murdered me. And I'm like, so I went back out and got a bunch of like, you know, chew jelly and stuff. And then like went back into the second, you know, room and finally defeated them. But it took a lot of patience, which we all know I don't have much of. I'm like, just be patient, Jess. Just be patient.
I may be wrong about this, but is this the first time I'm going to say this in this season? We all do it differently?
Because
I have not said that. I feel
we
like it has not
that.
Been said.
We haven't said that this season. We hardly said it in Wind Waker, if we said it at all.
But this is where there is actual real deviation on how we can do these things. Because like I said, I skipped half this dungeon. And you're talking about you skipped this one puzzle here that the three of us did.
I didn't see the rope at all.
Yeah, there was the painting
to
knock over.
I was staring at those paintings, too. Stuff.
There's four, there's four of the paintings, and you shoot them with your arrow, and it knocks them down. And then behind all four of them is a switch. And you hit the switch,
the picture is taken from North Hyrule Field.
Yeah.
Do you get a memory if you go stand by that?
Yeah, I hope so. Right. God, I need more. I need some of this lore to be explained.
Right.
So, eventually we do have an area where we're going outside and there's these like bridges that go across, and you get in there, there's one that you have to fight one of the flying what are they called?
Yeah, the shield dragon guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's one that you come across where it has this cutscene of like all of these enemies coming at you, and I'm like, all right, bring it on.
Yeah, let's go.
And then it's like nice, but also unneeded that our buddies show up, and one of them has a giant cannon.
He's got a rocket launcher.
Yeah, he's got this like rocket launcher mortar thing. And he blows them all up, and they're all just hanging out there. And then we see, like, a Falcon takes out, like, one of the arrow guys up at the top.
The Falcon was the coolest part.
Yeah. So we go through all that, and I'm guessing, is there another scene with them?
No, they just run off.
Oh, okay. They're like, hey, like, thanks.
Yeah, like, the rebellion comes, and I'm like, where have you been all this time?
Yeah.
Like, I've been fighting every single, like, bad thing in this entire land, and you just come and, like, kill a few, like, bad dudes. I'm like, I just got done killing two Dark Nuts at the same time. Where were you during that?
Yeah, that would have been helpful. The flying shield dragon, that would have been nice time for you to show up. right. This feels like one of those events in an open-ended, like, Western RPG where like you happen to, you know, fulfill a certain number of side quests, or you helped out all these characters, and so they show up to help you once or twice. Or it's like when you free the dog in Resident Evil 4, and then it shows up to help you late, you know, like an hour later or something like that. Like, that's what it felt like. But this is just a scripted thing where these four people, hey, hi, wave at you, and then they blow some guys up.
And they're like,
yeah, we could.
And they're so proud of themselves. They're like, yeah.
We did it, guys. We saved Hyrule.
I'm like,
you're like, okay, that makes four for you guys. I'm at like 300 something.
If we're doing Lord of the Rings here, yeah, I think I'm winning the body count.
right.
Yeah, so one of them, you do get a big key at the end of it. And then this is where, like, I kind of just found my little path. I went up here, and the next thing you know, I'm at the door for the boss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was, like, more stuff to go and see.
No, not really. Not really on this one. Like,
not that I recall.
Nothing notable, at least.
Yeah. You can go
through
both.
No, there's just the two paths. There's the big key, and then on the other side, there's a small key. But like, they're two identical halves. But this time you're supposed to go down both of them. Whereas I got the small key, I didn't get the big key. And I had to go back for the big key.
I must have, like, I don't know, like, looking through some of the stuff, it's like, especially in my map, I don't know at what point they wanted me to go some way, but somehow I was like, oh, here's a path that I can just go through, and there you go. So, There is a room that we go to. I have to assume that you guys saw this room, where it is a bunch of like square tiles.
Yes.
And you have to turn into a wolf.
This is the start of the final path to the boss door.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And you see these ghosts, and they're all like, if you don't go into that mode and you just like run up to them, the tiles will just fall through the ground, right?
Yeah. It's a clear path.
There's something. That
the ghost mice,
ghost, yeah, the ghost rats, yes,
yeah,
oh,
so
yeah,
they're, yes,
so not they're, the band,
they
the
give you an incentive to turn
rats.
On. Sorry, what
I said, not the band, the actual ghost rats,
yeah, but they give you an incentive to turn on your senses, and
right,
and then you see one of the dead soldiers, these, you know, these would be the same NPC models as the ones that were in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we get up there. There is a Dark Nut waiting for us at the top to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done enough of these now. It's not a big deal.
It's just one of them. It's no big deal. It's
yeah,
when
there's,
they start
it's
throwing
not
multiple
two.
At you.
It's yeah, not two at or, the same time.
Three. Like, I had to fight three at the bottom of the well.
Oh, no.
And that was just a nightmare.
Yeah, I
and it's not because,
died.
Like, oh, this is a challenge. It's because, well, there's just three guys there who can block, you know, 75% of your hits.
Right.
And then maybe you get through with one of them and you throw them off balance. But by the time you've thrown one guy off balance, the other one's ready to kill you.
Yes.
And so it's not challenging on a mechanics level. It's just unfair.
Correct.
Sure. Yeah.
So in the corner of this room is a locked door that you need every single key to be able to access this door. Mm-hmm. And I've never been in there before, ever, because I'd never found the graveyard before.
Right.
And inside are like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the point. I think I already had the big key and didn't realize it. And in my mind, I was like, all right, there's a locked door. That means I missed a key somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that I opened the map. And as I was looking around the map, I was like, oh, there's something more here. And I assume the areas had to be symmetrical because, like, you know, on the King Bulbin side, you got this key. So I'm like, all right, on the end of the other side, there has to be a key there.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that they actually incorporated the wolf, but it also just felt out of place because you haven't always needed the wolf form in dungeons.
Right.
And I was like, if this is something so important, they're going to make it clear, not make it, oh, you have to search for this one spot to dig in.
It's completely hidden. It's almost as if it's like just a bonus reward for you being thorough.
Right.
Like, that's really it. Because I've never found this before. If I wasn't streaming and, like, being like, we're going to look at everything, guys. We're gonna check all the spots. We're gonna look. I went both directions when it split in the castle just to be like, let's just look and see what else happens. But this door, you open it up, and there are 13 chests inside. Just full of goodies.
What does it have?
Useful goodies, though?
I mean, it just refills on everything. Just, like, everything you could possibly need, refilling your stuff.
Okay.
Does it have potions? Fairies?
I mean, there's fairies, you know, but... Yeah.
I could use a fairy.
I still have all of my potions. I made it to the end of the game with the half bottle of milk that I got at the beginning just to see if I could.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if it, like, turned colors and went bad or something. Which it doesn't, but I was like,
didn't
I'm keeping
turn,
that
it didn't
milk.
Turn into that's, cheese.
That's my milk, yeah. I might get hungry later. But yeah, there's just like, and then boxes, even boxes and jars and things to break with rupees in them. And stuff. Like, yeah, just a room full of stuff.
That's cool. So let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to finish off Twilight Princess. What's the time? Patreon time. Talking about patreon.com/chatofthewild. You go there, you support us for as little as a dollar a month, you get some cool bonuses. One thing that we are officially starting it now, we are on board with doing this every month, is our side quest show, where it'll be a Patreon exclusive. The patrons get to vote on which game we play each month. And then at the end of the month, we record an episode. It goes up exclusive to patrons. For this month, we are going to be doing Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Oh, boy.
A very fun, short Zelda-like that we'll be recording. It'll be going up in about a week and a half.
Nothing like adorable, adorable crime.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that game.
Don't give them too much.
Yeah.
They got to pay for it.
No, I'm not giving them anything. I'm just saying, like, oh, the places you'll go.
Like I said, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. Join up. You get that. You get access to our Discord. You get ad-free episodes. You also get those episodes early. Sometimes just like a few hours. Basically, as soon as they're done, they go up. It'll show up on your exclusive Patreon feed. A lot of people don't know. You can just go on to Patreon. There is an RSS feed link that you can plug into a lot of different apps, and you can get that sent straight to your own app. You don't have to necessarily do it through the Patreon app or do it through your browser on Patreon or however you listen to it. Mm-hmm. If you've got a specific podcast app that you like to use, it works with that. I don't mention that, so I should, because that's how I do it for all my Patreon shows.
It's not a secret, Jeremy.
No.
Share your knowledge.
Like I said, with the Discord, Brian is on there regularly talking about his stream. Brian, where is that located?
Oh, the stream's at luigisapartment.com. Yeah, Wednesday is Zelda night, so the day this podcast goes up, that night I'll be streaming whatever Zelda segment or Zelda-like segment that we're going to record that weekend, so which is usually a few weeks ahead of time, so you'll get to see the episode for a few weeks out get played through, and as I talk through it and talk through my thoughts. And so if you can't actually play the game, which we're going to be playing Oceanhorn, and I'm pretty sure by the time this episode goes up, it'll still be $6 on the Switch, so it's on sale right now. Yeah, Luigi's Apartment, Wednesdays is Zelda days. I stream other days too, but... And yeah, and the Tiffy and I hang out in the Discord a lot and talk about our pets and talk to all of our listeners, so... Yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out that Oceanhorn was our first Patreon-chosen game.
Yeah.
So our patrons voted for the next Zelda-like that we would play, and Oceanhorn came out on top. Was really hoping for Terranigma, and I know some of you were also hoping for, was it Star Tropics? Was that the one?
Neotopia.
Neotopia.
We got a couple votes on that. Do we get one vote on Okami? Someone was pulling for
someone
that,
Someone did. Think. Someone did. But yeah, you can check that out. Also, I'll make this a regular thing now. I was keeping it secret for a while. I've got a new podcast show out there. Podcast Advance is the name. It is focusing solely on the Game Boy Advance library. I launched it with the 20th U.S. anniversary of the Game Boy Advance. We've got a couple episodes up right now for Super Mario Advance, which I did with Twitter personality Stealth40K, F-Zero Maximum Velocity with Joe Spiro at the Spirit Hunters, one of the Greenlit podcast shows on here. Got some other great episodes coming up with some Greenlit people, as well as one with the co-founder of IGN, Craig Harris, joined me to talk about Iridian 3D. That was a lot of fun. Go ahead and check it out. Look up Podcast Advance on all your players. You'll find it on there. Subscribe. It's been a lot of fun. This is probably my life now because there's like 1,000 games for me to play and I've only done one a week. So literally it'd probably take me like 20 years to get through everything.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the life of Crontendo Gaming.
Yep. But check that out.
Check out Need for Speed Running. It's a new podcast that's coming out next week. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's something I've been working on. So we're going to cover Breath of the Wild in our pilot episode. And yeah, that's not going to be a weekly thing like a Podcast Advance. But that'll happen probably once a month. So yeah, Need for Speed Running.
Fantastic. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump over to some other great Greenlit podcast shows.
Hey, Chris, what's the War Rocket Ajax podcast about?
Well, Matt, if we were smart, it'd be about murders, but it's actually about comics.
War Rocket Ajax, it's not about murders, but it is weekly on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Oh, hi. I was just shoveling more red-hot takes into the old Hardcore Gaming 101 opinion furnace.
Shaq-Fu has some redeeming qualities.
There's a lot of Vigigame podcasts out there, but only HG101 has the co-Jones to objectively, definitively, scientifically rank the top games of all time. No, it's definitely pronounced co-Jones. HG101's top games. Twice a week, every week, right here on Greenlit.
So, yeah, we go in through the boss key, the boss door, and we get the scene where Midna is just like, so you must be Ganondorf, and I'm just like, all right, we haven't met this guy before.
Nope.
Like, yeah. We heard stories about him, and we as a viewer have seen what he looks like,
right?
But we have not actually met him yet.
Mm-hmm. He's sitting there holding the sword that they shoved through him.
Right, he's got a sage sword. Like, that's his weapon. Like, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I forgot that they called it the Sword of the Seven Sages until... The only reason I know that is because of one of the drops you can get in Breath of the Wild is that sword.
Oh, that'd be cool.
From one of the amiibo drops.
Right, yeah.
And so when you get the full Ganondorf outfit, you can get that sword to go along with it.
Nice.
Ganondorf does rant about how the Twilight people, like, you know, sort of mocks them for not being strong enough, which, you know, I think, like, looking back on it, Brian, you had mentioned something about feeling like Ganondorf was intentionally trying to deceive him with that. But I think it was, he thought this was a way to get through and to, like, get what he wants, not necessarily to, like, use and throw away Xant, but just seeing, like, they're using, he's trying to use powers to do bad stuff too, so I'm going to do that as well. But then hitting that ceiling with them pretty quick and just being like, oh, I'm not going to be able to.
Like, I don't necessarily need, here. I need Agamemnon for just, like, you know, a little bit of my plan. And right. Then once that's done, like, who cares what happens to him? You know, Xant can rule in the dark world for all he wants, you know, Twilight world for all he wants. I don't need him anymore.
Yeah. And then he goes and flashes his triangle at us.
Yeah.
To be like, I got the power of the gods.
I got this at Spencer's.
Yeah. We do too.
But then, yeah, he mentioned, he sort of alludes that he's going to do something. Yeah, we get in this room. It is the same scene that we saw where Zelda's last stand early on when we first were introduced to Xant. Where we see, like, this giant statue of the three goddesses above the throne room. And when we get into there, we see one of the heads just, like, laying on the ground next to us.
Yeah.
But also Zelda is just, like, floating in the middle of it, just stuck up there and, like,
she's back
asleep. Yeah. So there she is. You know, I don't know why. I don't know what the point of her vaporizing before was. It's not like we're in the world of Twilight where, like, she went into the world of Twilight, or maybe she was before.
Maybe.
I can't remember. But.
And Ganon pulled her out because he needs her triangle too. He's got to complete the set.
Yeah, they don't even talk about that. They don't even talk about him, like, trying to get those things. That's not really a part of this story at all.
It is not.
He's thinking about an old game, and everyone in this one's like, I don't know what you're on about, buddy. And he's like, no, this is a thing. I totally need this. I need all three pieces. I'm like, all right.
She's
not in her robe anymore either.
He looks over at Zelda and makes it clear that he's going to, like, do something to her. And Midna tries to stop it. But then it just, like, the power that he uses, the Twilight power, just goes right through her and just, I don't know, just punctures Zelda all over. And I do like this scene that we get here because we do see, like, what is it? I think Midna gets, like, blasted away, and then Link tries to run after her, and then as soon as he turns around, we see evil Zelda, like, right behind us.
Yeah.
And it's, like, actually, like, a really cool cut because we didn't see what happened with her.
No.
And then suddenly she's just there with her sword out, being like, I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to kill you right now.
I told you
She's got, like, black veins going through her face and stuff, and she looks
like,
all
I told
possessed.
You there was a reason I had this sword earlier in that cutscene.
So now we have to fight, quote-unquote, fight Puppet Zelda.
Yes.
More
no
puppets.
Point are we ever actually going to use our sword on Zelda. That was probably, I could see at one point we actually fought her, and then Miyamoto was like, you cannot use your sword on Zelda. Like, that is not allowed.
Right.
And so they had to get creative with it and to just be like, you're just going to deflect her power back at her.
It's like, guys, we already beat up a Yeti lady in this game. Like, let's tone it down.
Right. We're getting dark. Can't beat up on Zelda.
We don't want to get Zelda. That dark.
So we get a, hey, remember this part at the end of Ocarina of Time battle where we play tennis with her.
Yeah.
And we lob her energy back and forth.
My timing was off a little bit, and it got me a few times, and I'm like, oh, agonizing. Mm-hmm.
So we do that a few times. She gets electrocuted, and then Midna uses her power again and just does this, like, devastating-looking attack where just, like, blows right through Zelda and, like, launches her back at the throne, but then lets go and is like, oh, she's fine. She's just laying there. She's very comfortable, actually.
She's quite cozy.
She just needed a heavy detox.
Yes.
But so what happened with that is that Ganondorf did, like, go into Zelda. Like, he was inside of her using her as a puppet there. And because really, like, this Ganondorf is more ethereal. He is not really, like, he is magic. He's not
an
a person
idea,
like
man.
You. Right. And
that's why you don't play with Ouija boards, kids.
The Ganondorf we knew in Ocarina of Time, that was like a guy that was using the power, and this is like just the power at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So after we help Zelda out, we do just see this like mound of dark energy that starts to transform, and this is where he does transform into Ganon.
Is this like where we have to like, did Midna get wiped out by that last attack where like Link's kind of holding her there?
No, not yet.
Or that might have been at the beginning when she speared through the thing, I think. But like at some point he's like kind of cradling her, like, are you all right?
Yeah.
And just the way that like that interaction happened, I felt like Link was just like, yeah, I have a girlfriend. Which that happens more going forward.
Yeah.
So this is not our final battle, but it does definitely feel like it. We're fighting Pig Beast Ganon. This fight is interesting. Like, again, I like it thematically, but I think the mechanics of it are kind of boring.
Yeah.
I was hoping that it would be as exciting as the sumo battles, because it's kind of what they're going for when you toss the Gorons aside when they're rolling at you.
But that is the last phase that you do, and you even do it in a way that you weren't taught. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So the first round, Ganon is just like running around in circles around you, and he will like teleport out and then show back up. And when he teleports out, you will see like this seal sort of move around in different places, and you got to wait for it to like change color at the last second. And it is very much like the Phantom Ganon battle, where you do have to like look all around. And when he's coming at you, you want to shoot an arrow at his head to stun him. You come around on his belly, slash his belly up a little bit there.
Yeah.
Do that a few times, then he'll change up his pattern where you'll try to shoot at him, and then he'll just like disappear.
He's too smart for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're playing around with this gash on Ganon's chest or stomach from when he was stabbed with the sword of the Seven Sages.
Which is cool.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's what they're going for on that.
And he even bleeds white as you do that. Like little bits of white will come off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then we do the thing where Minda's just like, it's beast versus beast.
Yeah.
Which I actually liked.
Again, thematically, sure.
Yes.
But yeah, so what you have to do is basically turn into wolf and then wait until he comes right at you, and then press A, and I think you have to hold A
at
the whole
time. Right time.
At just the right time.
Mm-hmm, I feel like I had to kind of jam it a little bit, kind of like the sumo.
I think when I jammed it is when I lost, and I was like, okay, so do I hold it? I couldn't figure it out what they wanted.
I can't remember.
We're back in this like WarioWare minigame thing where like, now, like, you know, you only have like a split second to figure out what they want from you, and you fail.
Maybe it was holding it down. And then you move him from side to side, and he plops over on his side, and you slash his belly again. But it took me a minute to figure out, like, I'm like, I get that she wants me to turn into a wolf, but I could not figure out, like, the holding thing. Because I was trying to come at him from the side. It wasn't until, like, I saw the A when he was, like, he came out of nowhere and he was charging at me. And I'm like, oh, that part took me a minute.
Yeah. So, yeah, you do that. You toss him to the side. You hit him a couple times. And that'll wrap up the first phase. We then get this cutscene where Midna is basically making it clear where she's like, remember how I said before I only used a little bit of my power? I'm going to use all my power right now. And Link realizes that. He's just like, no, don't do it. You're gonna kill yourself. But Midna just like throws us out of of this castle. Just like chucks us out of there. She teleports us out. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
there's an epic, there was a firefight.
We get this like, you just see off in the distance this like big thing going on, and then the cut is weird because it just goes like from that to then Ganondorf on a horse.
But then there's like this big light explosion you see like from the castle, you know, like in the castle.
Yeah.
Oh dear God, the battle is not over. It's not over.
No,
it's still not.
Yeah, no.
Because all of a sudden,
yeah, we see Ganondorf holding the Twilight Crown from Midna, and he just crushes it in his hands.
Yeah.
Then we just get this. Then Zelda does a prayer and is praying to the elemental creatures.
This is the creatures? Yeah, it's not the whatever, however many sages Ganon didn't kill.
No, right. The sages, we're not messing with them anymore.
Yeah, okay.
And they merge together and create the light arrows for us to use. And the next thing you know, we're on our horse. And I'm just thinking, like, what's the horse think of this? Like, what was the horse doing? And suddenly it's just like, why am I here?
Right?
Like, a horse is just happy to be a part of things. Ever since I got the ability to be a wolf wherever I want, I've just been like, butt spots, you can hang out. I don't want you to get hurt.
Yes! So,
go steal some apples.
Yeah.
Yeah, go relax somewhere.
Yeah, now we have, again, not the final not the final battle of all of this. We have the horseback fighting, which, you know, has been a big thing. We're just like, oh, it's got horseback fighting. And it's like, no, this sucks. It sucks.
This is the second worst part of the game.
First one being the first horse battle.
First one being the second horse battle.
Oh, yes. Second horse battle.
Yeah. I was like, I have to do this again? I'm like, I was raging the first time. So you got, like, Zelda, you know, like, riding the horse with you. And she's like, focus on him. And then, like, and then when you do that, I'll shoot my light arrows. So I rode up to him, and I'm focused on him, and she's shooting her little light arrows, or she wouldn't even shoot them. I'm like, literally, like, shoot, woman!
You weren't there long enough.
And then she would try to shoot from far away, and then he would zigzag, or the stupid, you know, mechanics of, you know, me riding this stupid horse was, like, zigzagging, and so then the light would miss, and I'm like, I'm gonna lose it. I'm like, and I'm tired at this point. I'm like, but I gotta finish it. I'm in it now. I've gotta do it.
Yeah.
You know, I just watch it on YouTube. It's fine.
Yeah, you can lie about it. Jeremy didn't beat Alundra.
I didn't. I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna just only admit to that right now.
The thing I hate about this is that it's essentially the final fight from Wind Waker done poorly.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was worse than I remembered it. And this is worse than that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, so the thing is, you stun him, and then you can run up to him and hit him with your sword. You do that a few times.
You ride up to him. You make sure you ride up to him.
Yes.
Don't mess it up, because you're going to have to do this over again more times
again,
than you need to.
And again, if you get too close to him or you're too slow, he turns around and he hits you off of your horse.
Oh, constantly.
So we do that enough. Then we do get the final battle, the true final battle with Ganondorf.
Yes.
I like this.
Never again.
I did like this.
Yeah.
Thematically and in terms of mechanics. It was a one-on-one sword fight. The thing is like, Ganondorf really only has two openings throughout this. Mm-hmm. And it is about watching his animation. He can move really fast, and he can do a lot of damage to you.
Yes.
At this point, here's the thing. I had half my health, no fairies. Nothing.
There is one fairy in a skull in that little area that I found.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
In the field when you're running around, or
no.
In the battle?
So, like, you're in the one-on-one with them, mm-hmm. and I was running around, I'm like, I need some hearts! And I hit one of the skulls, like, in that little arena and stuff, and it was a fairy. I'm like, oh, praise the Hylian gods.
I was in my royal tunic on this. Nice. I actually did finish the game in the royal tunic.
I should have.
I
never put it on.
I had some fairies' tears and two different special chew potions and a bottle of rancid milk.
Yes.
So I was doing okay. I didn't need anything.
The best. So you're in this final battle. You got half a heart left. You're like, wait, I know what to do. And you get that milk and you chug it. And you're like, oh, Oh, the milk's bad. The milk's bad. Just start it's puking chewy. In front of him.
Milk was the wrong choice.
I've never had to eat milk before.
I saved my Great Fairy's tears for this final battle.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that you lost the buff as soon as you got hit.
As soon as you get damaged.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I drank them and immediately got hit.
Yeah.
So he's got, Ganondorf has some moves. He's got a couple moves where he will like lunge at you and then do, I think he does like a two combo move on a couple of these things.
Mm-hmm.
He also you kicks have to, you. Like,
yeah. With his giant he has all these different things where the
he's
only
got
time.
Over B, he's got up B, he's got a couple different A moves.
Mm-hmm. Don't let him get the smash orb, whatever you do.
Oh, God. Well, don't let him charge up his regular B move. That falcon punch,
so,
man.
The ways that you can damage him, and really it's like there's one way you want to do it. You can get in between, like after he whiffs an attack, if you can dodge him just right and get in there and hit him that way. But what you really want to do is you got to do the chance move. So what happens is he will sort of like lunge at you, and so a prompt appears on the screen that just says chance. And
chance time.
You do a jump attack at him, and then you the swords will clash.
The cues will TE.
And you have to smash the A button or whichever button as quickly as you can.
A button.
And then it wasn't, you know, I had it in my head that at some point he would be able to overtake me. I didn't really have an issue. Did any of you have a problem like pressing the button fast enough?
Not even when I didn't realize it was going to happen. And then I was like, oh, crap, I need to mash it. And I still managed to do okay.
I never got, like, the opportunity to use the chance button. Like, it just flashed real quick for me. And I'm like, and I was never quite quick enough to hit it. Like, it was
until the very end, to the last time you did it?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that part, obviously,
you have to initiate the final blow with this segment.
Obviously, I did that. But, like, throughout the battle, like, how I defeated him, like, it took me a minute to figure it out, but, like, when he, like, slashes his sword down, like, to, like, get you, he's stuck for, like, a moment, and his back is turned. So I would just loop around him and stab him in the back, and it would semi-stun him. And I would just get a few more stabs, and I just kind of waited him to do that, and I just went around and around and around and around and stuff.
Just
but,
wore him down.
Yeah, like it took me a minute, but I beat him. So,
but yeah, if it's like using the big Goron sword on Ganon in Ocarina. If you keep doing it, you're never gonna wear him down. Just right.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna, you know, it won't. You won't initiate the final blow if you don't do the thing they want you to do.
Right.
Now, once we do that enough, he does lay on the ground, and you can do a final downward stab. And
yeah.
I thought this part was really cool. Like, honestly, this moment I think was about as cool as in Wind Waker 2, because it goes dead silent. When he's like screaming, and it's like you have all this noise, this music going. When you do that, everything is just silent. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That is a pretty cool little moment to have there. But then this is just weird. So like, we go and do this. He stands up. He gets right. He just gets up.
I know.
And then he just starts talking.
I got my
about
triangle,
like,
dude. You can't kill me.
Wait, what's happening? My tattoo's fading.
Oh no! They told me it was permanent.
I must have got water on it.
I didn't do it just right.
Right. I was sweating too much. And yeah, he basically just says, like, this is going to keep happening. And he's like, yeah, I know, dude. This is like the 12th Zelda game we play. We know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We know this is going to
keep
happening.
We keep killing you. We just keep
you're going to keep dying, it. Too, by the end of it.
Yes.
But then the scene just ends with him standing.
I know.
We don't see him, like, fall over finally.
Or turn to stone or something.
Nothing. He's just standing there, and he's just like, I mean, we see, like, his body just sort of, like, goes limp, but his legs don't. He still just stands there.
I thought he turned to stone, but that's
no.
my... thought it was maybe that's just Wind Waker.
No, he like, does not turn into stone.
So okay. I'm just picturing this thing, like, you know, after all this stuff is done, it cuts to the scene where these kids are like, "I dare you to go touch him." It's just like, I'm not gonna do it. You go do it. No,
it's like in DBZ Abridged when Yamcha gets brought back to life. He's like, "Where did you guys bury me?" And they're like, "Bury you." And just cuts over to like him still lying in the hole.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. We defeated Ganon. We do kind go of. And see that the sages are huddled around Midna.
Uh huh.
And we go up and see her, and we see that she is back to her normal self.
Yeah.
And of course, she has to say something flirty because she's a female character talking to Link.
Right. I was like, I've got a girlfriend.
Yeah, she basically says something like, "Oh, am I so beautiful you have nothing to say?" to the silent protagonist.
Right.
He hasn't
well,
said that
to anybody.
Well,
because he has a sort of stunned look on his face, but it's like, oh, you're people now. You're not like a little imp thing anymore. But yeah, like, oh yeah, I got it going on, don't I?
She looks like she's a Sheikah or something.
She looks like Bayonetta.
Yeah.
I'll take that. And then we get the sort of final scene before the credits is where we are back at the Arbiter's grounds, and they're talking about her going back to the Twilight, and they talk about it in a way where they're just sort of like, yeah, this has been great. We should hang out sometime. Maybe you can mm-hmm. come over here. We'll play cards. I'll come visit you sometime. We can have a few drinks.
Zelda is so sweet, though. I love this part. She was like, you know, I know why, you know, this, you know, the Twilight Mirror was created is so I would meet you. And it was like a really sweet scene. It was like very sentimental.
Like, I'm real sorry that this all happened to begin with.
Right.
But yeah, they talk about how this mirror is the only way you know, between the worlds and all that stuff. And the last little thing is she shoots a laser tear out of her eye towards the mirror, and it cracks it enough to where the last use of it like destroys it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're just like, no, what's happening? And then she's back on the other side. The mirror's gone. There's literally no way for us to go back.
I bought property while I was over there.
I left my headphones over there.
No, the left earbud. I'll never get it back.
We get our jolly credits.
Yeah.
Like we get a scene where the people in Hyrule Castle are all doing the Mallow dance.
Yes.
We get that scene that I knew was going to be in here, not even because I remembered it, but with the Zora Prince and his ghost mom watching over him.
Kapora,
we got
Kapora,
that exact
mom.
Thing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when it happened, I was like, "Yep, yep, Jeremy was right. There it is."
Like, everybody's happy.
Were there any other scenes that stuck out to anyone?
I think I was too busy pontificating about my thoughts on the game to like really pay attention to it.
Back in, you know, Ordon Village or whatever, where you know Link is from. You know, like that one mother has her baby and like the kids are reunited. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really sweet and stuff.
I'm sure she names it after your main character. So that's I Farted the Baby.
Yes.
I Farted : the Baby.
I Farted. Yeah. Son of I Farted.
But I thought it was really cute and sentimental.
The last scene that we do get with Link is like him going back home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of established where he's just like, all right, gonna go back to being a farmer now. Everything's done. You can check that box off.
Right.
And that wraps it up. I did check. I was at 30 hours for my completion.
Really?
Yeah. 40 something.
Do you remember,
I have to
Jess?
Go back and look. I didn't.
I think I'm in power.
I think it was like upper 40s.
So,
BC. My Wiimote lasted the entire time on one set of batteries.
Really? Right.
Nice, I am nice. Thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, me too.
Because I know for a fact, and it might just be because it's not using Wii Motion Plus stuff, But one of the other reasons why I didn't make it through Skyward Sword was because I was chewing through batteries, and I was broke at that point in my life. And so I was constantly having to buy batteries. And yeah, so that was another reason why it just took me, I maybe just gave up on that game.
Aww.
But I'm impressed.
BC, you had not played this game really before we started this. So before anything else is tainted with your views by other people's views, I want to just give you the floor. How do you feel about this game?
I would say the overall, I enjoyed it. I think I kind of wish there was more to do out in the world. You can collect a ton of Poes, but it almost feels like there's too many Poes. Like, there were enough Poes that when I, like, made it halfway through the Poes, I was like, okay, this is fine. but I think it does a good job of, you know, it's the dark Ocarina of Time. Like, it takes the format of Ocarina and it actually, you know, it does the same format, but it still feels like a new game. I really like not all the characters, but I felt like they were really enjoyable characters. Midna, even though I kind of hate Midna being around, she's still a good character.
Yeah.
And for like a Legend of Zelda game, you know, Zelda's somehow in it less than I feel like she normally is.
Yeah, and we're not the ones trying to save her, really.
It's more about Midna and Zelda.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like so many other games. If it were made today and were a little bit more technically polished, it'd be amazing. I just think it's really good, not amazing. So, if they could release a, you know, Jar Jar Binks free edition that didn't have the horseback scenes.
Oh God!
Automatically goes up, you know, 10%.
Or at least just figure out some way to make them better. Just give some sort of AI to the horse so that you don't have to constantly be pushing it in directions like other horses in other games.
Yeah.
Brian, what?
I found out something during, I think it was in the last few weeks, when I was watching some speed runs of this game, so we could talk to our special guest coming up next week. But they altered the horse controls in HD version to where it's more annoying on HD.
Oh.
Oh.
So you have almost less control over the horse. They went another step further on the realism where you lead the horse. So you kind of suggest that it goes more to the right or to the left, and like you don't really have like full control over the horse in the HD version.
But
so,
that's
yeah.
what I want, but I just want it to actually have good AI. This horse doesn't.
I forgot to bring that up before.
Oh, man.
Hey, Jess, say some of your piece.
So, I mean, this is my second run through of Twilight Princess. When it first came out, like, my memory of it is completely skewed. Like, it's totally skewed. Like, when it first came out, I thought it was well done. I really enjoyed it. I honestly don't remember most of the game from... Like, I'm like, did I play this? I'm like, yeah, I did. But I thought it was, back then, I thought it was like super clean. And I remember the thing that stood out to me most back then was the desert scenes for some reason. I don't know why, but it just did. And this time around, I don't know. Like, I felt like it lacked a lot of story. Like, there's a lot of, you know, plot holes, and that kind of bothers me. I get that as a Zelda game, there's always going to be plot holes, but I just felt like it wasn't well-rounded with that. There was some...
We've played other Zelda games where they, like, there's a smattering of lore here and there, but, like, this one felt like they had something they wanted to say, but then they just didn't say it.
Right.
Like, or they left parts of it out.
Right.
There was a meme that I actually shared with the group today that said, Link's Awakening is just Twin Peaks for people who play Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I thought that was hilarious, but I just kept thinking, Twilight Princess is kind of like the weird dream sequence, bizarre, Twin Peaksy game.
Yeah. Eyeballs, the weird, white iris or cornea eye cutscenes with upside down girls floating and raining down. And
I felt,
I guess if I think about it from that lens, as Twilight Princess as the deadly premonition of Zelda's. Maybe I like it a tad bit more.
Sure.
This is better put together than that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I just feel like they tried a little bit too hard where they didn't have to try so hard with this Zelda, but I mean, it's still Zelda. I love Zelda, and so, but I thought, there was definitely some like fun pieces to it I enjoyed. I just felt like it was a lot of work more than I remember it being, I guess, overall, for some reason. I don't know. Definitely was not my favorite, but aesthetically, I thought it was cool looking for sure, except for the creepy people and their weird faces. So
I think after the last two Zelda games, Nintendo learned these take a lot longer to make than we're used to, and we can't just force these out anymore. And so we got like a much longer break between this and Skyward Sword. We got a equally as long break between this and Breath of the Wild.
Oh yeah.
And those still seem like they were like, okay, wrap it up, like on some level, but I think, like, there's something funny about Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. Like, they feel almost rushed in different ways. Like, seems like it's more polished than Wind Waker was, but, like, it's still missing stuff. It feels like there's just something not quite altogether there.
I know, but I really...
I don't know.
I loved Wind Waker, though. Like, I played through it. I played the regular version and the HD version, and I loved Wind Waker. I thought, it was super cute. There was plenty of things to do in Wind Waker, and I wanted to do the things, whereas I just didn't feel as motivated in Twilight Princess. Like, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to be done with it. I hate to say that.
I've kind of hinted at it before that, like, I feel like I'm done with Aonuma's style of Zelda, and looking back on it, like, it's kind of jarring, like, how much I didn't see. And maybe also playing through all of them again, I'm finding that the things I like about Zelda games, there's maybe what I thought I liked about the 3D Zelda games isn't necessarily what I liked about them. I do like the puzzles in this game, but the dungeons themselves feel like, you're just, if you're not paying attention, and you just go with it, like, oh, that was really fun. Like, I like the theming of it. I like the ideas in there. It was kind of cool. But like, if you're paying attention more than just below the surface, like, you see, like, oh, this is just, everything's placed right in front of you, and you just keep moving, and it's just, you don't really have to think too hard about these. You don't really necessarily get lost in them unless you decide to go back or something like that. And I want to go back and play, like, I've played Zelda 1 and 2 recently, but I want to go back and play A Link to the Past and Link's Awakening and see if, like, maybe that's what I want out of a Zelda game. Maybe I want these, like, kind of branching dungeons where, like, I have to spend time in them to understand them, to get what it's trying to get what the dungeon actually wants. And maybe I've just been like, A Link to the Past has always been there, and I never knew it until now.
Yes.
Sort of thing. So And, you know, because I feel like Majora's Mask still, even some of those dungeons have that kind of feeling to them where, like, they're not necessarily on a straight path, but maybe I missed that too. Like, Wind Waker, like, kind of opened my eyes up to, like, it's a game I love and I still like playing it. It's also, I think it's a lot more fun to play than this game. But, yeah, that I don't love the 3D Zelda games as much as I thought I did. I mean, I put so much stock into Ocarina being, like, this masterpiece that means so much to me. And I think it, playing back through it, like, I don't know if I can objectively look at that game because I just have it memorized. Like, it's just all in my head. I know it. I know every bit of it. So I don't know how to, like, necessarily go back and look at it. But maybe I should try again now that we're at the end of these. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird.
For me, so this Twilight Princess checks off all the boxes. But that doesn't mean it's the best Zelda game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if I was listing out the things that I wanted from a Zelda game, this hits, like, every single one of them. You know, you have memorable characters in this. Although you have we have a lot of NPCs that are just like nothing, you know, but it's more so than we've gotten on almost every other Zelda game where literally characters only have one line of dialogue that they ever say.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You have the Cuckoo Girl. All she's just like, I lost my Cuckoos. But then people will look back on her and be like, oh, I remember Cuckoo Girl. And like, why do you remember her? She didn't do anything. Like, but at least with this, we have these characters that are just like, we have interactions with them throughout. We get more of those than anything else. And I feel like there's a part of me that wants to say this is a better Zelda game than Wind Waker, but I absolutely do not care to ever come back to this world. I don't care to get a Twilight Princess 2, but give me a Wind Waker 2. Absolutely.
Right. Like,
I want to do more in that world because I love that world. I just don't feel like there was
like
enough in Wind Waker. Yeah.
I think Link's story in this game is done after two dungeons.
Right? Like, it is.
You're just along for the ride. And in Wind Waker, you're sort of along for the ride too, but you gained this friendship with Tetra. And so, like, I want to save Tetra. Like, I want to protect Tetra. She gets taken or she gets, you know, she gets kind of, you know, put down in the corner real, like, halfway through that game, which sucks.
I mean, it's a Zelda game, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I want to make sure she's okay, and I like that Link, and I am right there for him. I want the things he wants. And this Link is just like, I mean, whatever. If my girlfriend remembers things will be cool. I'll help my friend out, though. I got this friend. I kind of want what she wants, too, but I like Midna, but I'm not like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's so weird. Like, my, it's just a feeling. I don't know.
I know something's missing.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, both of those games are missing things, but they're missing completely different things. And like, they both needed more time. They both needed to be, like, polished up. We did, like, you know, we have this whole Uku story that just goes nowhere once we get to the city in the sky.
And
we have
gone.
A bunch of these little moments that just seem like they're going to be impactful, and then they just land with a thud and or don't land at all.
Yeah.
This was a game that was trying to please the fans.
Yes.
Oh, I know that.
So many of things were in response to the kind of reactions that they saw after
Wind
Waker.
Space World 2001, man.
And this is sort of the Monkey's Paw Zelda, where it's like, we got what we wanted, but in so many ways, it's, you know, this is why we get Breath of the Wild, because they gave us something different because the people that were making it wanted to make this game.
Yeah.
And Twilight Princess isn't necessarily that. This is
That's
them
not the game
trying,
they wanted to make.
Yeah.
This is them checking off all the boxes. This is them saying, like, this is what people were wanting when they said they wanted a new Zelda.
And then we get the fallout from this game, which is everyone's like, whoa, it's so cool. It's exactly what we wanted. And then, you know,
no one talks about it.
A few months down the line, everyone's like, I don't know if this was all that great, actually. And, you know, it's repetitive, and it's this, and it's that, and, you know.
Right.
The 3D Zelda formula is getting stale. I shared a clip from the end of an interview that Jeff Gerstmann did on X-Play, where they, like, pulled him aside to be like, hey, can you tell us anything about what happened with the GameSpot firing when the giant bomb stuff was happening last month? And I forgot that the reason they had him on there was to talk about how stagnant Japanese design was getting in the late aughts. And one of the things they showed were clips from Twilight Princess. And, like, that was the big talking point about Zelda, which is it's just the same thing again. And now 10 years later, we're like, oh, I love those 3D Zelda games. And we're like, 10 years ago, people were like, these 3D Zelda games are just the same. And that's how we get Skyward Sword, where Skyward Sword is like, well, let's mix it up. Let's try and change up the formula or something. And then even that game, what it tries to do, people are like, it's just the same thing again. And I think Aonuma was like, I don't know what you want from me. Let Fujibayashi take the lead on this. I'm just going to oversee everything, because I don't know what you people want. And they went and made whatever the hell they wanted to make, and it turned out to be pretty great.
Mm-hmm. So, after this discussion, so I would say, like, a couple episodes ago, I was contemplating putting this above Wind Waker.
After
talking about this, again, I've made it very clear on my issues. Like, I love the world of Wind Waker, but I have a lot of problems with the mechanics of the game.
Sure.
Okay? I have issues with the dungeons on them.
About three episodes in, I was going to put this above Wind Waker. I was like, you know what? This seems to be a little bit more competent. I'm fully okay with that, but I fell off that a lot faster, I think.
After talking about it, I'm going to put it not only under Wind Waker, but under Link to the Past as well for me. So that's where I'm sitting it on there. So it's currently like the lowest ranked 3D Zelda. You know, I thought it was going to be higher, but right now Twilight Princess is the lowest ranked 3D Zelda. So really it's up to Skyward Sword to be like, does it get worse? I don't think it will, but I also thought there was a chance Twilight Princess was going to be higher than it ended up
being.
Whenever we get to these end of the season things where you put it into your ranking, I usually am finally ready to say something about like two or three Zelda games ago, where I finally thought about it enough to be like, I think I can make a decision on this. And I'm putting Majora's Mask above Wind Waker and Twilight Princess at this point. I think it moved up on my list. Like,
where it should be.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas before, I we got to the end of Wind Waker, and I was like, I have so many problems with Wind Waker, but I can't let go of how much I love it. And my problems with Majora's Mask kind of mirror my problems with Wind Waker in some ways, to where the end of the game is just, they're both rushed games in different ways too. But I think I'm ready to like say, and I was going to put Wind Waker below even Twilight Princess early on. I was going to move everything above it. But it just, you didn't play it with us. Just stop sticking your tongue out at me. Okay. It has
problems.
But I
have played it before.
I love it so much. Like,
twice.
I absolutely adore Wind Waker. It has problems.
Sure.
But no, I can't do that. It's, this game also has just problems, and I still like it. I mean, I was never like super hot on it when it was new. I played the crap out of it. I beat it like three times. I enjoyed it, but it was never like my favorite thing. And so yeah, I think I've got my 3D Zelda games are Ocarina, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess. Just chronological release going down the list. So, with Breath of the Wild being at the very top.
Of course.
Oh.
That's just magical.
Breath of the Wild.
Why?
So, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Is there anything else that anyone feels like they need to get off their chest about Twilight Princess?
I would just say, and maybe I'll regret this, as a dissenting opinion, if we were going to rank the games that could have been, Wind Waker over Twilight Princess any day. If we have to rank the game that was, like, the end of Wind Waker is it's like the last few dungeons of Wind Waker, you're just like, oh, okay.
They
this
stopped
is it.
Trying.
At least, yeah, at least stuff was happening in Twilight Princess. I think from a functional standpoint, outside of just like loving the characters, I think Twilight Princess is probably a better game. And I think I've said this before, as I was playing Twilight Princess, often I thought, man, I wish they could have put this time into Wind Waker.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Ranked on potential, Wind Waker all the way. Ranked on what happened, Twilight Princess.
As annoying as it was running back and forth between Impaz and Illia, at least it wasn't the Triforce Peace Hunt.
Oh.
Wind Waker, okay?
True.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
And you had HD version,
and
too.
I had the easier one.
You had the better one.
Still, it was annoying.
I think it was really eye-opening that I was like, wow, this is just Sea of Thieves is just the Triforce quest, isn't it? That's all it is. it's a game that I enjoy the act of playing very much so, but it's just not rewarding. And that sucks. That really sucks. But yeah.
Jess, anything else?
Nope, I don't really have anything.
I'm glad we're doing the show. This is what I like doing about this show, is that I gained a whole new appreciation for the Boomerang and for the 2D Zelda games, and now we're getting to the 3D Zelda games. It's like, wow, maybe I don't. That's not what I want out of a Zelda game. Maybe this isn't why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, Ocarina of Time was just a really, really good 3D version of A Link to the Past, and that's all I needed.
Sure. So, that wraps up Twilight Princess. We will have a bonus episode after this.
Speedrunner JDLM. He's a 3D Zelda speedrunner, but he's primarily... His favorite game is Twilight Princess. His favorite game to run is Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess is actually the longest of the 3D Zeldas to speedrun. It's broken, but like I guess the least broken, or they still have things they would need to find in it. But I guess they just broke open Skyward Sword in the last couple years to where they can basically force the game to... You know how you go back to each area multiple times? They can basically force the game to think that you're on the final time you go to each area and skip like two-thirds of the game. So that's pretty wild. So, if you enjoy speedruns, BC and I got to talk to him about just kind of the act of speedrunning Zelda games. All right.
So check that out next week. After that, we're going to be on our guidance season where we will be playing the game Oceanhorn. It's an indie game that came out a few years ago on mobile, and it's been like remastered in a way for all the modern systems. It is a very Zelda-like game. Check it out. Play along with us.
You can play it on your phone.
For the first episode of Oceanhorn, all we're going to be doing is completing the first island, the island that we wake up on, do the stuff for the hermit, and get the key to the boat. Do all that, and we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden!